Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, on a Friday morning, man's going to be busy this weekend recruiting in the month of March. We welcome in Mike Schaefer from Husker 24/7. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, gentlemen. How's it going?
Good. How many times have you written or responded on your board about Dylan Raiola since you woke up this morning?
Zero since
Ooh,
I woke up.
Okay.
Since the beginning of time, we're in the thousands.
Hey, we will shift to him because he is in town, but let's shift to yesterday. So, you know, and I think you're really good at this, of you don't overreact, and you know what you're looking at, so you can see something and kind of know what the drill is or what the purpose of what they want that particular player to do when we have open availability for media like we did yesterday with 40 minutes. Was there anything that felt different yesterday from the past of what you've seen of this current football team to what you're seeing of a lot of the same guys but different coaches on the field? Was there anything different yesterday that stood out to you?
I mean, honestly, and look, I'll probably get killed for this. No, not really. I mean, I feel like, and I've said this a couple times now to different people, like a football practice is a football practice is a football practice. I mean, I just, like, yeah, they're probably doing some different drills, and you could maybe argue there's, you know, some people were saying there was more energy or it looked like it was more controlled or whatever. I don't know that I feel so strongly that I would say that. I mean, the difference was the different amount of people that were out there, whether it was the coaches or whether it was the players. I mean, that certainly stood out. I mean, the on-field instruction seemed a little bit more intense, I guess, in some parts, depending on which coach it was. But a lot of it just kind of looked and felt the same. I mean, it's a football practice. It looks how it looks, and really, you know, unless you're trying to reinvent the wheel, you're not really going to reinvent a football practice. I mean, I just don't know that there's a huge difference in what I've covered under Bo Pelini and Mike Riley and Scott Frost and now under Matt Rhule and what it looks like in those 40 minutes that we get to watch practice.
Yeah, and Schaefer, if you're trying to maybe look at the things that could pay off for Nebraska in the long run, and we were talking a lot about, you know, attention to detail and the coaching staff kind of laying out expectations. That's obviously going to be a process that we're going to see carry into the fall. But, I mean, any sense of that being present as far as this coaching staff really, as you kind of mentioned, you know, as they're maybe coaching or maybe they're interacting with the players, that seem like there is definitely a stress on trying to set those types of expectations.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely hear it maybe more in how the players speak, but certainly, I mean, we saw it with some drills yesterday. I mean, there's a standard that's acceptable and there's a standard that's not. And, you know, they're not going to hesitate to tell players if they're not meeting the standard. But what they want, you know, when you listen to Billy Kemp speak, or whether it's Kemp or Quentin Newsom or even Nash Hotmacher, I mean, all three of them basically said it in their own way yesterday. It's on the players at some point to start policing that.
Yep.
I think the staff wants to set the barometer of what it's supposed to be, but then they want the players policing it within themselves. And it's not just an in-drill work thing. It's all-encompassing. It's when you're in the weight room. It's when you're in study hall. It's when you're in the locker room. It's when you're out to eat. It's when you're having fun. It's all of these things. There's a standard that they want for Nebraska football that they're trying to implement. And it starts with them, but it only really works once the players take over. And, you know, Nash Hutmacher, I thought, had a pretty astute kind of, you know, he was talking about their standard, and then he stopped himself. And he's like, it's our standard. It's up to us. It, you know, they'll say it, but it's up to us. And so I think they've really done a nice job of kind of getting that into the mindset of these players. One of the things that I think is always really reflective of a new hire when it's a position coach, and especially when it's a whole new staff, they start to talk like the people they spend a lot of time around. And we're already really seeing that with Nebraska staff. And so I think, you know, more than anything I necessarily saw, it's how they speak and the way of which they're trying to get their point across now that seems emblematic of what this Nebraska staff is trying to do in terms of setting, like I said, a universal standard for all things.
Hey, Marcus Satterfield yesterday when he's talking about 13 personnel, and he's a guy that strikes me as he's going to put his offensive in the best position to succeed. And he looks at the tight end position, and there's some intriguing ingredients there. He's talked about fullback. We know what we have at quarterback. They're deep at running back. In all honesty, and as we navigate towards the start of the season and you know what's left of spring, what do you believe when they open up against Minnesota, this offense will look like? What will they hang their hat on with this offense? Or you can say, hey, it's way too early to know.
I think it's going to be a lot of play action. I think they're going to really work towards setting that up. I mean, they did that a lot at Baylor. I know talking with Charlie Brewer, and I think that Spencer Rattler, when he was having success, it was built on being able to at least get the defense to, you know, believe that the running game was a viable threat, both for him because of his athleticism, but also, you know, with the running backs they had there at South Carolina. And so I think, you know, just from what we've seen from Matt Rhule before, he really likes play action. He liked it at Baylor. I know talking with Brewer, Charlie Brewer, the quarterback that he had for Baylor for several of those years, he said, you know, I'm guaranteeing you, they want to run the ball. They obviously want to pass it, but they're going to use everything they can to set things up with play action. So I think we're going to see a fair amount of that. And you guys know you've been around football a long time, and Handley watches the Bears, so he knows all about that offensive line play. It's hard to run play action if you can't protect your quarterback. And so, you know, that's a huge part of this whole thing. And so, you know, all eyes are going to be on Donovan Raiola within that program for a variety of reasons. But he has a big, big piece of this whole thing. He's got to get that offensive line to elevate its level of play. We could talk about, you know, the amount of wide receivers or who they got at these skill positions. Ultimately, it's going to come down to line play. And so I think for this offense to work how they want it to, that offensive line has to be able to open up the holes so that people can respect the run game. And then they have to be able to hold up when they call those play action passes, because they want to attack areas of the field. And one way you can set that up real well, if you run well enough, you can attack deep. And I think with an arm like Jeff Sims, so they did with Spencer Rattler, I think that that's what Marcus Satterfield would like to do.
Hey, speaking of Satterfield, I know you got a little extra excited when hearing about Matt Rhule's pickleball prowess. I mean, is this a tournament that you are willing to move forward, a media tournament that the winner would take on Matt Rhule?
Yeah, I mean, I think that what we'll probably do, because there's 715 organizations that have covered Nebraska football, I think everyone will have to submit their best person.
Okay.
And then, you know, we'll have this tournament. And it's going to be, I think it'll be a knockdown, drag out fight. And we'll see how it goes. But pickleball, you see the TikToks and the reels and everything.
It's all the rage.
It's America's fastest growing sport. We might as well just jump on board right now.
This is Mike Schaefer for all the tennis aficionados out there. Mike J. Schaefer on Twitter. Now recruiting. Is there any way that Nebraska can have the weekend that they have assembled just to watch a practice, unofficial visits, that does not involve Dylan Raiola? Any storyline that does not involve him? Because it seems like he's connected to almost every single player outside of Nebraska that's coming and guys' decisions on how they feel about the school.
Yeah, I mean, he has put himself front and center for a variety of reasons in it. But, yeah, I mean, I think there's some real storylines that have nothing to do with him, though he has certainly made it a point to reach out to guys that aren't in his region. And what I mean by that is they have visitors from every one of their border states. I mean, I think that's a really important part of this whole thing. Grant Bix is probably, Grant Bix is probably their favorite target out of Iowa. He's, you know, 30 minutes from Omaha and about an hour and 20 from Memorial Stadium. He's a really important guy. And so I think they want to get him, on campus as many times as they can. He's really important. Thomas Heilberg from South Dakota, he's visiting. They have Gage Ginther from Colorado, he's visiting. They have guys from Kansas, guys from Missouri. I mean, you know, we could focus on the guys that are coming from Connecticut and from the prep school there, or the two great players from Matter Day, or Dylan Raiola himself. But a lot of it is also taking care of the top targets that are near you. I mean, so I think one of the storylines that matters to me, and they have four of the best players in state that are going to be coming in, they're also doing it locally, too. I mean, we're going to get really hung up on how many five-stars, kids from California and Texas and the East Coast and whatever else. they also want to win here in the recruiting battles that are right close to home. They want to have success in Kansas City. They want Andrew Sprague to walk out of that weekend and think, you know what, Nebraska's a real option for me, whether Dylan Raiola is a part of this or not. And so I think, you know, we can get caught up in the Raiola effect, or what I call the Raiola coaster, as much as we want. But they have to put together a recruiting class, whether he's part of this whole thing or not. And so he can't be the only thing that matters this weekend. Like, they really have to stress and win in a variety of ways that have nothing to do with it. And if you can get them, it's only going to enhance everything else.
Well, and you mentioned the local guys, too. When you think about what is going to be unique about this one, where you're essentially inviting these guys, they're going to see practice, they're going to kind of see, you know, what this coaching staff is about, how they teach. Just from the local standpoint, too, you know, how impactful and what do you sort of anticipate for them to kind of see from this staff this weekend?
Yeah, I think a lot of them, they're going to want to see how they're coached. They want, you know, I mean, if you're Davon Hall and you're Isaiah McMorris, you want to see what Garrett McGuire looks like when he's out there. You want to put eyes on a guy who's really going through his first coaching experience. If you're Carter Nelson, you love all the talk about the versatility that tight ends are going to have in this offense, so they can play a variety of different roles. But you want to see it when you're out there watching practice. I mean, so, you know, if you're Caleb Betting, I imagine you're going to want to spend a lot of time watching Evan Cooper. And Evan Cooper is someone of a magnitude. You know, you're going to hear him from wherever you're at, and he's going to be getting after his players. But they're going to be having a good time, and they have some really interesting drills. So, I mean, I think individually those guys are going to be locking into their future position coaches and their future positions. And then, of course, they want to hear why this is the place for them. I mean, you know, we talk all the time about how you have to keep in-state kids. Well, why? What has Nebraska done in the last 6 years that makes any in-state kid? You know, the last time Nebraska was good, these guys weren't even in middle school. Mm-hmm. So what is it that sells them besides the fact they live in this state? You know, so I think that is where having outside voices of a Matt Rhule and Marcus Satterfield, people that have done other things, can really sort of help, because it's not the same recruiting pitch of, oh, you can be an in-state hero to a program that everyone's going to love you. They hear that all the time. Give them something else. And so I think that's going to be a big part for those guys, too.
Hey, so help me and everybody else learn, kind of as we follow this staff recruiting, what they did to close out 23 and they're building for 24, how the sausage is made, how a guy like Willis McGahee IV comes here on Monday and he sees practice, he likes it, that he's going to come back for the spring game. What is it that they're doing that they are convincing kids, and it's not just a Matt Rhule, it's the whole operation, to convince kids to come to a practice, but then they're getting them to turn around and come back again. And a lot of these kids are on their own dime. How are they able to do that? What is their pitch to guys like Willis McGahee that comes to Lincoln in March and will be back in April?
Well, I think the pitch works in a couple different ways. This is a staff that had success at Baylor, so they can point at that. And, you know, that's its own thing. And obviously they can't point at any success at Nebraska yet. But certainly everyone knows that Matt Rhule, his last, you know, time at Baylor, was a very successful coach. And then they have those NFL connections. And so I think, you know, if you're Willis McGahee and your dad obviously played in the NFL, and he has connections all throughout the league, and those connections are like, you know, this is a really good guy. He's a really good coach. You know, if this is someone, I'd be comfortable sending my son to play for him, that kind of thing. Like, the reputation that Matt Rhule has at large is so much better than what we probably think that it is inside our bubble here. And so I think that always helps. And then they just do a good job, I think, of relating to these guys and creating an environment that's fun and creating an environment where it's like, hey, you know what? You can visit anywhere you want. But why would you go somewhere where you know you're not going to have a good time, or you don't know if you're going to have a good time? You know, if you come to Nebraska, you're going to have a good time. And you know what we're trying to build here. And so I think all of those things kind of add together. I just think that, you know, Rhule does such a good job presenting himself and presenting this program. And then on top of it, you know, we throw in the Dylan Raiola effect and certainly what's going on there. There's just a lot of intrigue about what Nebraska can be. And I don't think this should come as a surprise, and this is kind of the ace in the back pocket, and I can't believe I haven't even mentioned it yet. They're going to have the best facilities in the country.
Yeah.
Honest to God, they're going to have the best facilities in the country. And when people from this class show up on campus, they're going to be able to use those facilities. It's not like Wandale Robinson standing there in a dumb hard hat in 2019 telling you, you know, I might get to use these. No, these kids are going to spend their career in the best facilities in the country. That is a hell of a recruiting pitch, and it's one that I probably don't do a good enough job highlighting every time I talk about it.
Yeah, and on that, and I'm glad you brought that up too, because I feel like I've asked you this question in previous years with, you know, Scott Frost as the head coach, and you know the job that he was doing recruiting, despite not having the success on the field. It's a similar situation for Matt Rhule, but I feel like it is different because you can use a lot of examples. Now you do have the facilities to point to. You do have this rare opportunity to see how we coach, how we develop, as opposed to just the, hey, just imagine what this place is going to be like when you're a part of it being reinvigorated, when we're back to winning. I feel like it's still a different type of sale for Matt Rhule than it was for Scott Frost for a lot of those reasons, but also I can't overstate it enough, him kind of showing that development, or as we like to say a lot with him, the why, showing sort of the why at all this.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a big part of it. I mean, I think he gets a little bit more visual presentation than the people that came before him, and I think that's good. There's another part of me, this doesn't quite fit what you're asking, but I do want to mention it about why I think Matt Rhule is successful with parents and with recruits alike. He's failed, and he's very open and vulnerable about why he
failed. That's a great point.
And he talks about, hey, I tried something. And in life, sometimes you try things and they don't work out, and you learn from it. And here's what I learned, and here's what I know about the NFL. Here's what I can tell you. But I can also tell you, here's why I want to be in college football. And if you don't think that's powerful to the people sitting in the room with their kid, they're listening to this guy talk, and he's talking about what they want their kid's future to be, but also talking about why he believes so strongly in college football, you're out of your tree. I mean, I think that's a really valuable piece to the whole equation. He's a very vulnerable, open individual about his failure in Carolina, and I think that makes him relatable and human in a way that sometimes college coaches don't always come across, because they tend to have the air of, you know, this is going to work. It has to work. Mm-hmm. He knows when things won't work, but he also knows what worked for him in the past.
That is a fantastic point. Chafe, enjoy the weekend. Great stuff, content being churned out on the weekend and from yesterday as well. I appreciate it as always.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
That's Mike Schaefer. You can follow him on Twitter at Mike J. Schaefer. 25 as of right now are on campus. Hello. The in-state list is the best of the best. So we'll see what the bounces they get from this. The bounce tonight at, I almost said Buck Belcher Field, because I'm thinking of our next guest, Derek Erstad, at Haymarket Park tonight. 17-4-28 retired. That's pretty damn cool. For somebody that spent a lot of time around Nebraska baseball and around all three of these individuals, it's pretty cool that all three are going in at the same time to have their numbers retired by Nebraska baseball. All really fantastic now men, but they were great in their career. Darren Erstad, who has been on numerous sides, Memorial Stadium, Buck Belcher, Haymarket Park, he's going to join us coming up next.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.